This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Coming together, Lord. It brings peace and stability, Father. And it silences every other voice. Being in your presence, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. Well, good morning to the, shall I say, elect, invited. How do I address you this morning? Invited and elect. And I also want to say good morning to all our people that's online this morning that were not invited. I'll just wave there to you. And I hope you enjoy it there and that you have a meaningful experience at home as well. And I think that is so powerful with nowadays with the technology that we are able to do that. But that shouldn't be a replacement for real fellowship, I think. In times like this, we can adjust to other measures, but it's I think there's value in being closer to one another, but we respect and honor where we are. And we're living in such exciting times. I don't know about you, but this that is happening right now with us is so exciting. And I know that sounds, just like the opposite, but that we are able to see certain things that other generations hasn't seen. That we see this in this generation that's busy taking place. People, what is happening right in front of our eyes is not just natural. There's so much spiritual in this. And I really trust that that we would really reflect upon this over this time. On Thursday afternoon, I just sat down because there were so many thoughts that was just running through me about what is happening right now. And I had to journal those things because there would be a time that we'd have to sit down and ask ourselves, what have we learned from this? And this is such a time where we, as a church, are busy writing a test as we speak. We are busy writing the test. And it's important that we ask ourselves, what are we learning or what have we learned when this is? And we pray for our country, we pray for our government, and we pray for all those around us. But at the same time, the church needs to be alert. At the same time, the church needs to be aware of what's happening. You know, we need to reevaluate our privileges that we've got. We need to reevaluate the things like fellowship that we have. Do we take those things for granted? And but it's interesting, and I want to say this, and I don't want to stay on this topic because I want to move into the prayer, but there are so many voices speaking, and basically there are two voices speaking now at this moment. I just want to leave that with us in this whole light of Corona. And the only thing I want to leave here with you and to the people listening this morning, which voice are you listening to this morning, you know? You get so much on the social media, on the news, for 20 minutes of a 30 minutes, they dedicate completely that to the whole world has been affected by that. And we are aware of that, and we are not insensitive towards that. But if you only listen to that voice, guess what will happen to you? Exactly what the evil one wants to do to us. So this is the time, and I said to him, I thought about this, and I spoke to Mark before service, and I prayed about this morning, and I thought about this. Think about this. Just interesting thing. I don't know. I never thought about it. Corona. If we had to move death away from Corona, if we could cut that away and say the outcome of that, the death wasn't one of the outcomes or that could potentially happen to you, would it be such a big thing? No. Which in turn says to me, a lot of people are afraid of death. I'm just saying, you're going to die anyway. And I'm not saying, what... If it was just another sickness and we're all going to become healthy again or maybe we'll suffer for a while, whatever it might be. But it shows me that a lot of people has not got peace. And my life is not in my hands this morning. Okay, enough of that for a moment. We are in our final, sermon of our series on prayer. And it fits into our bigger picture of CrossFit, of becoming fitter. And one of those things is to learn to become more effective in our prayer. And during last year, many things happened. Some exciting things happened when God started moving in the Spirit, moving us into certain areas, direction, specific things, specific mandates. A lot of that happened in the spiritual realm. And with that being said, a lot happens when you stir in the spiritual realm. Actually, it's stirred in the spiritual realm as well. So that's why it's so exciting. But before even what we are facing now, for us as a church, a lot stirred there. And then gradually I started sensing a deeper sense of spiritual resistance. And you speak to people around you that's also in ministry and some of our people here, and they confirmed that as well, that what we were experiencing is not just a challenge that we were, or a personal thing, but it was something bigger than ourselves. And you realize that when you move into different territory in different areas, you know what, the enemy is not going to be happy. And he's not just going to hand it over and say, listen, you can have it. So we become aware of that. But at the same time, you know, thinking about what I've been sharing here this, or about to share here this morning, often, and I'm asking myself the question here, don't we give the enemy too much credit sometimes? Huh? We're looking for the devil behind everything. Sometimes, if we say to one another, and it's let's just talk about this for a moment. If we say there's some spiritual resistance, which there is, which I'm the first one to say this morning that currently we are experiencing some spiritual resistance, that means we give him some credit. What about the times that when we experience less spiritual resistance? Are we supposed to, listen to this, are we supposed to thank the enemy for giving us less spiritual resistance? It's a horrible train of thought to go down. Or, let me put it this way, or are we simply not releasing enough of God's presence in the situation? Because we're not praying to the enemy. We're not obsessed with him. Maybe, and it's like God has been speaking to us for more than a year now about our prayer life and about releasing, because this is what happens. You know, the enemy is going to come in and go and come in and go and do certain things. But at the end of the day, God has given us a key to stand up and say, listen, you can stand against us. So could it be this morning that we're not releasing enough of God and we're taking shots sometimes? And I want to say that maybe, but can't say it more, because we're not always as efficient in our prayer. Huh? You're very quiet. You can say amen. The people can hear you. And the people at home can say amen as well if you agree. If you don't agree, I just put it out there. Is it that God is trying to get us to a new level of prayer so that for the area where we need to go, we'll have to up it? And I want to say this to us as a church as well. For where God is about to take us, we'll have to up our prayer life. Amen? Amen. That's true. For all of us, individually but corporately as well. You can't take new territory with the old type of pattern of prayer life that you had. That is served. You can't use that anymore almost. You use the principles. But here's the thing. Two things I want to share this morning on our prayer life specifically as I conclude the series. The first one is take it seriously. Take it seriously. Luke 11. Have we got the scripture up there? Luke 11 was one. Did I give it to you? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Luke 11 was, the Bible says, Jesus felt the need to pray. Jesus went away. Now, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Listen, if Jesus, who was on earth, felt the need to pray, maybe we should think about that. Jesus of them all had the need to pray. If we don't have a need to pray, and I'm not saying we don't, I'm just putting it out there, that means there's something wrong here. And then his disciples come to him and says, teach us. In Matthew 6 verse 9, he talks about that famous prayer, Our Father. Teach us to pray. And then Jesus says, in this manner pray. In other words, Jesus gives them a pattern. Many of you have worked through that pattern. But the fact of the matter is Jesus is so aware that we need to pray, and he gives his disciples a specific pattern that they have to pray because it needs to be serious, and we need to be serious about it. Listen, John 10 verse 9, talks about the thief that comes at night to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we're going to be oblivious and ignorant towards that, guess what? He's going to steal, kill, and destroy till you wake up and say, listen, I'm not going to allow that. Same with what's happening right now. You need to raise your level and pray. Pray for your family, anoint them, and then walk out in boldness out there without fear, not being stupid, but just being one that walks in faith, you know. Don't run into a place of fear or isolate yourself into fear. But we need to take it seriously. Ephesians 6:12 says this. Have we got it there? Ephesians 6:12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual powers of wickedness. Hey, listen, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. What we're about to see that's about to come is this is nothing. This is nothing, people. I say this for the record. This is nothing what we are seeing. It's causing, sorry, I'm talking on prayer, and the whole thing about what's happening in the world. It's just interesting how these things are happening in our midst. But what we are seeing in our world, the reality of what's happening here in the world economy and all of that, that is affecting all the nation. Our nation has changed. Listen, in one day, in a Saturday afternoon, this nation changed suddenly. Fellowship changed suddenly. Our schools, a lot of things change suddenly overnight. It just shows you how suddenly things can come upon us. And we need to be awake at all times. We need to be aware. We need to be alert at all times. We need to live a life of prayer, disciplined prayer life. I listened to this testimony of a pastor the other day that they planted 90 churches all across the world. And then they planted a church on this island of Molokai. It's apparently the fifth largest island in Hawaii. So what they did is they planted that church, and that church never grew beyond 40 people. And they tried everything. He tried everything. And then the Lord said to him, you need to pray. You need to pray more diligently. You need to pray over this island. Go and walk. And as they prayed, the Lord said to them, listen, walk around this island and pray. And as they prayed, they got to a grove of trees. And when we got to that grove of trees, the Lord showed them something in that specific area. What happened is that birds would literally fly over that grove of trees, and they would die there. Just like there's death in that area. And then they started reading history, and they found out, and the Lord showed them, that that was a place where some people sacrificed children. Man. And that spirit was still operating there. And they had to close that, bring that before the Lord. And what happened is, listen, what happened, that church grew from 40 to 400 just because they addressed that territorial spirit. And I'm touching a little bit on other stuff here this morning, a little bit, just to make us aware that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not just about, am I going to have food, enough food and money at the end of the day, at the end of the month, although we need those things. I don't say that. Or it's not just about my car, and it's not just about my house, but there's a spiritual battle happening as we speak this morning. Amen? We need to realize as a church this morning, as a church family, if we're going to expand to other areas, guess what? We're going to enter into fresh territory that we've never been before. And if we're not alert and we're not aware and we're not sensitive to those specific areas, what's operating in that area, listen, we're going to take shots. I say this as a warning for us. I say this for myself this morning. During this fast, I had to really seek God over specific things in this town, asking the Lord, what are the things? You see, the question is not if the enemy is attacking more. The question is, why are his attacks landing? Why are his attacks landing? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we've given us the shield of faith, that we can withstand every fiery dart of the enemy, so that when he comes against us, we can stop it. Listen, church, we've got everything that we need to stop the enemy. We don't have to be afraid this morning. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what the sickness is. Doesn't matter what it is. We've got every tool. We're supposed to be the ones with hope. When Jesus said, you will tread on scorpions and snakes, that wasn't just a nice story or something figurative. Scorpions and snakes has got the possibility to harm you and kill you. That's what he's saying. And we've got the ability this morning through faith to access this. Not just a nice scripture. That means nothing if we don't exercise our faith. And I'm not saying being foolish. Please hear me. But I think I learned more about faith in the last year. I've learned more and I'm still learning more about faith. And it's not just about building a building. That has helped us tremendously. But there's many more things that's only accessed through faith. That makes the difference between somebody that's out there that can just take up this book, read it, and just apply it. No, you got to have faith. You got to have a relationship with Christ through that. Activate that faith, and then it becomes alive. Otherwise, this is just a few words. with all respect towards what's written in here. And it's time for us as believers, I'm going down a other track, I didn't, but it's time for the real church to stand up in faith and say, listen, this is our promises, this is our word, this is our Father, this is what our Father says. We're going to stand up in this moment and be the light, and we're going to access faith. We've got tools that they haven't got, that the world haven't got. Why do you think the world is in fear? Because they're afraid. We're supposed to not to be afraid. Listen, my hands is in the life, in my Father's hand. My life, sorry, sweep it around. My life is in my Father's hands. Tomorrow morning, I might die of anything else. And I don't say this disrespectfully, but we need to get to that place of complete surrender, living a life of complete surrender in Christ. That today I know that I still have to live because I've got purpose. That's why it's so important to have purpose. When you understand purpose, then you can still live with, you can live so fully because you know, God, I've got work to do here. And when you say it's done and when you think I'm done, then I'll pass on. Because death is just a door. It's just a door. Sorry, I'm going down the wrong track. I have to get back to prayer. But I'm so excited about what's happening right now in our midst. Because it's a moment for us as believers to shake us as well and ask us, what are we busy with? Amen. Find purpose. Find your purpose here on earth. Then you'll find peace as well. Then you'll know why you are here. I'm not here because, you know what, God thought it good that I would be here for you, are here for a specific season. No, you've got a purpose here. Time for the church to rise up in faith. And things are increasing. We talk about this has been in the past. Yes, it's been in the past. But can I tell you what? They talk about the birth pains when women get into labor. And the intensity of this is getting closer to one another. That's why we know that things are moving sooner. So you can say, yes, it's been in the past. That's true. That's true. But the intensity, I'm treading a dangerous stretch when I go into the medical side because sometimes my knowledge, I have just enough to be dangerous. So all I'm just saying, when it's closer to one another, it says to us, it's about to happen, to give birth. Listen to Daniel 10, verse 12 to 13. Can we have that scripture up there? Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your quicker God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince, notice those words, of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Can we go to verse 20 as well? Then he said to me, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight the prince of Persia. Notice that. The prince of Persia. And when I've gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you that it is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Your prince. Listen, people. I want you to see this. Daniel prays. And the Bible says that Daniel prayed for 21 days. But on the first day when he started praying, he was withheld by the prince of Persian Greek. He had to fight them. Daniel said, listen, I heard your prayer. God sent me with an assignment to you and to tell you, I've heard your prayer. I've got the answer here. But on my way to you, I was withstood by the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. In other words, territorial spirits over this area. And if it wasn't for an archangel that would come, I would have not been here. God is fighting for you. Your prince. Listen to this. Your prince. You've got a prince this morning that's fighting for you. The Bible says that he's sending, that he's giving the angels command to protect us so that we wouldn't even dash our feet against the stones. Rise up, church, and realize that we are in a battle this morning. There are princes, territorial things happening this morning. And I'm not saying you need to fight them, that God fights for us. But we need to stand up in boldness and say, our Father. I mean, people, listen, for 2 years, somebody's, Michael Howard, let me put his name out there. He's been coming here. What did he say to us as a church? Rise up. If there's one message that came out of this, be bold, stand up, bold. Not fight this in yourself. We cannot fight against that. God fights against that. God, call upon God. Get your relationship with God right. That you can say, Father, fight for me. Man, I'm excited about this. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. Hey, man, God has given us people, his angels are so aware, he's ready to dispatch his angels for us if we call upon him. But we have to pray. See, Daniel didn't stop praying for 21 days. I mean, he could have stopped praying, but for 21 days, he kept on praying, praying, praying. And sometimes we get tired, but I'm here to say to you, don't get tired. Look at Mark 5, verse 8 to 12. And I want you to see this thing about territorial spirit that we are operating in. Jesus, for he said, come out. Then Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered it, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. We'll stop there. Some translations talk about out of the region. Why would the demon ask Jesus not to send him out of the region? Got strongholds there. That demon feels comfortable in that place. He knows if he leaves that place, he's got no stronghold in other place, but he's got a stronghold in that area. Stay here. Just leave me here because I've got a stronghold here. I can oppress other people. If I leave this one, I'll go to somebody else because it's a stronghold there. I want us to be aware, people, there are strongholds in this area. There are strongholds in Swakopmund, specific ones. I don't want to go into that now. But during this fast, I said to the Lord, Lord, you need to show me my ignorance. Forgive me for my ignorance. Forgive me for just running into things. Forgive me for sometimes just, it allowed me, or a lot of things. Sometimes you take the attack, you take the shots, and then suddenly the Lord just gives you that revelation. So why are the enemy landing on your place? Are you aware of what you are fighting? So I said to the Lord, Lord, if there's one thing in this fast I want to know, what are the territorial spirit in this town? Amen. Amen. Can I don't know whether I should share that. Because I don't want to go down that route. It's a long discussion, and I think it's really worth standing still and probably dedicating some time towards that and really asking. It's not just about the nice knowing about what's happening here. It's about really addressing that and asking and knowing that we, I don't want to say fight this, that we walk. But here's the thing, the two things that God said to me. Pride and greed. You know, suddenly, and then it dawned upon me. You get revelation in this moment. Lord says, why do you think I ask you to build that place cash? Because the church is supposed to walk in the opposite spirit. How do you feed that spirit? You pray over that, but then you walk in the opposite spirit. If we talk about greed, the church is supposed to be the ones that are the most generous to the world out there. Or us, let me put it that way, for us as a church, that we figured out here what God is saying to us. Each church will have to figure that out for themselves. In this case, when God says, and humility, we'll have to walk in humility continuously. And here's the thing, if God assigns you a new responsibility, God gives you a new mandate, there are meager things, but you have to make sure that you walk in humility. It's not about us. It's not about how big the task is. And it doesn't matter how much influence God gives us, the fact of the matter is that we remain humble. And God can increase our influence irrespective. As long as we remain humble and we remain generous. I mean, when I thought about that church thing and we had a meeting on Friday, it's just, I'm getting excited, more excited, and if it all goes well, within 2 months, we're moving into that place. But there's a lot of generosity that needs to flow with it, and faith. But you know what? We'll have to sit down and just work through this. But anyway, let's not get distracted. Titus 1, verse 5. Look at the scripture here. And I'm talking here again on territorial spirit. Listen to what Paul is writing here. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. So he appoints elders, and then look at verse 10, and he writes here to Titus. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. I mean, sometimes the scripture is so straight, you know, and we are almost muted in church. Don't say that. But anyway, this is just a point. I just wonder sometimes Paul would have been the most unpopular guy, one of the most unpopular preachers today. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This test me is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. But look at that scripture. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Listen, that sounds like an ethnic slur. Cretans are always liars, lazy gluttons. Or what. Anyway, it sounds like a racist ethnic slur against that specific ethnicity. But what Paul is doing, Paul is just quoting one of their own prophets. He's not saying, listen, you Cretans are lazy people. You are gluttony. You have gluttony or whatever it might be. Or evil beasts or liars. He's quoting one of their own prophets who said it about themselves. And it became a territorial spirit, stronghold in the midst. Listen here. I want you to listen to this. We do exactly the same. You say, Yaku, how is that possible? Oh, no, you know, you have to understand, I'm German. You have to understand, I'm Afrikaner. This is part of it. So what do? We say certain stuff, then we live up to that. Oh, I'm African. We're always late. Sorry to say that. No, no, but we use these things, and then it becomes a stronghold, and we live up to that. There's only one kingdom culture, and that is, there's only one culture that's supposed to be the kingdom culture. That's when we come out of the world, we're supposed to adapt the kingdom culture. We cannot keep on saying, you know, I'm German, I'm Afrikaner, I'm English, I'm this. This is exactly what they did. They said, we are liars. So you agree with that. And then you live up like that, live up to that. That becomes a stronghold in your midst. Not just only territorial spirits, they are familiar spirits. Familiar spirits operate in families. Have you seen that in a family sometimes? That thing around in the family. And it got access. Somewhere in the past, I don't want to go down, we do a lot of that in the deliverance and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, you see the father does, or the son does exactly the father. There's something here, there's a familiar spirit. How is this possible? The son never knew about the father or about the grandfather, but the same thing occurs here. There's a familiar spirit that got access in the past, and we need to cut that off. We need to be aware of that. All I'm trying to say to you this morning, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Take it seriously. We're just going to sit back and have a time of just, we pray when I feel like it. Man, you're going to take shots. My second point, you're going to laugh now. Don't take it seriously. Take it seriously, but don't take it seriously. What do I mean with that? And it's just to help you to remember here. So what I'm saying here is, it's against flesh and blood, our battle. But don't get too stressed out about what you need to pray. Because if you walk in the Spirit of God, through the Spirit, He will show you. Sometimes we worry too much because you get one or the other. Some people don't take it seriously, and I need to say to you, hey, you need to wake up. I mean, some people, you look at the patterns, and you're like, you're taking shots, the one after other. This, I don't want to say death, but I mean, I sat in a conversation the other day with somebody, and they're asking me advice and say, this and this and this happened. And like, now you're so sensitive because you don't know that person, you haven't got the relationship strength. And I want to say, listen, if you've gone a little bit deeper, this is not just this stuff that's happening in your life. You need to probably just see if there's something in the past that you need to break. But anyway, it was death, actually, that occurred specifically within this family. And premature. Anyway, don't go down that route now. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes the other side of the coin is, We're so obsessed to pray the right way or right, but we don't know how, and we get stressed out. Don't get stressed out. Hey, it's your Father. He's given you the Spirit of God. That's an amazing thing. He's given you the Spirit inside of you that guides you what to say, amen, what to pray for. Amen. Listen to that voice. Just listen to that voice. You know, when we pray sometimes, it's almost as if we think more about stuff then. Because you're forced to think about that stuff. And then we start to worry a little bit more, because now that you think about it. So I can kind of get it when people pray less sometimes, because then you kind of do a blind eye. You don't want to go there, because if you pray, it stirs up stuff. Huh? Isn't that true? So don't pray that often, because if I pray, then it becomes a, I don't want to say issue, but we are aware. And listen, the Lord said this, prayer was never created to create a burden. It's to relieve the burden. If you get stressed out because of prayer, man, you don't understand it. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, God has given us the ability to receive that fear. Can we get, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known, known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that's verse 7, I think, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus. Hey? That peace. Be anxious for nothing. Church of God, be anxious for nothing. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says it this way. Submit to God, resist the devil, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care. Listen. God is asking us this morning, cast it upon me. If you worry, cast it upon me. Prayer is designed, or that word cast, in that case, when we read in 1 Peter 5, it means literally to put the responsibility in someone else's lap or hands. Isn't that amazing? God says, hey, bring that responsibility to me and give it to me. Wow, man. I thank Jesus that I can put that responsibility through prayer in his hands. You're not supposed to carry that anymore. You're just supposed to bring it to him. Listen, you are not designed, I'm not designed, none of us are designed to carry that burden. We're supposed to only bring that burden to Jesus. And then Jesus will carry that burden for you. You cannot. You're only designed to carry it to the feet of Jesus. That's all. That's why you get weary, because you carry the burden that you're not supposed to carry. Jesus is the only one. Sorry, I point to myself. He's the only one that can carry your burden this morning. Doesn't matter what it is this morning. Nothing too big for him. But you talk to people. You ask, have you given that to Jesus? Yes, many times. Many times. I thought you gave it to him. No, I've given it many times. So you know what we do? Oh, Father. This is the problem. And you have this situation. We all, from time to time, we go from stuff and then we say, okay, Jesus, I'm giving you my burden. And we stand there. Jesus, I put it down there. It's at your feet. Jesus, just touch. Just pick it up. Jesus, just become aware. Just put it down. Did you see that? Let me just take it again, Jesus. I'll just carry it again. And I'm joking about this all, but we do that unknowingly. I mean, sometimes I find myself worrying about stuff that I've prayed already. But then I realized I failed here a little bit. I should have. But here's the thing, and I want you to notice. Daniel kept on praying for 21 days. And sometimes we have to keep on praying, but we need to give the burden. Keep on praying, but give the burden to Jesus. Okay? We are not designed to do that. We're not designed to carry that burden. Sorry, I'm hammering on that. Psalm 55, verse 22. Trust in God concerning the treachery of friends. Listen to this. Cast, again, that word. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he, I love that word, shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He shall sustain you. And the Lord says this to you this morning. You will be sustained only if you are not going to be allowed to be moved by your circumstances. But you know what happens around us? The fire, the smoke, the noises, the circumstances change, and then we get moved by that. And God says, I will sustain you, but don't be moved by the circumstances around you. That's when we access faith. That's when we get to that place and we give that burden to God. So what am I saying to you as church this to the church this morning? Be serious about prayer. Realize we need to pray. We need to be aware. But don't get stressed out. You've got the Spirit of God. Look at this, and I'm ending with the scripture. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. Put it this way. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities. So I've been talking about principalities and powers and, yeah, territorial spirits. Who is the head of all principality and power. And do you know what? He lives inside of you. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to take residence inside of me, the head of all principalities, the head of all territorial spirits. So yes, we need to be aware that there are spirits out there. We need to be aware that what we wrestle against is not flesh and blood. But the good news here this morning to the church and to me and you is He lives inside of me and He is the head and they have to submit if we are willing to. Amen. And Jesus has given us a pattern to pray. You know, and every time the enemy would come to me and you and tell you, you are not qualified. Who are you? Who are you to talk? Look at your past. Where do you come from? Do you know what my Father says? I've given you a pattern. And you can say to the enemy, my Father, I call upon you. And thank you, Father, that your kingdom will come in my life. And Father, thank you right now that I have forgiven others, or that I am forgiven as I have forgiven others. And right now, Father, thank you that you will never lead me into that temptation again to stumble, Lord. Thank you. Because yours is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the Father that we serve. Amen. Amen. Because He taught us to pray this morning. And it's time that the church rise up and use that tool. I am super excited about the power of prayer. Because I've seen too much in the last few months when people bow their knee. And I always want to shake people sometimes and pick them up on a higher bus on a Thursday or Tuesday or Monday morning. And I stop at your house and say, wake up! Wake up! Get in the bus, get here, get on your knees, because you will discover something about a mighty God. I tell you people, we don't know what we are capable of doing when we bow our knee, when we come to that place of humility, what we can move in the spiritual realm. Amen. Amen. If this church just desires that and moves in that place, we're going to see things that the government cannot move. We will move in a room like this and other churches as well. I'm not saying just us, but a group of people that are willing to submit to that and are willing to humble themselves. We can move things in the spiritual realm. And they would just sit there and say, why did this happen? How did this happen? How did this go? Our God. Amen. There's a song I want us to listen to this morning. Just to remind you this morning that your God, your Prince, my God, my Father fights for you. He loves you. He's fond about you. Don't respond to the fear. Don't respond to all these voices out there trying to get your attention, trying to indoctrinate you. My Father fights for me. Be wise. Be wise. Cooperate. Be respectful towards our government. But above this all, rise up, church of God. Say, my God fights for me. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, please, people, this is not just a natural battle that we fight. Please pray for your family. Go anoint them or pray for them. Pray for God's protection more than ever over them. Pray for this family, not just for your five people at home or four or three or two, whatever, but pray for us as a spiritual family, that God will protect this family supernaturally as well against any onslaught of the evil one. Amen. Listen to, are we ready with that song? You guys ready at the back there? I can't sing that, so you'll have to bear with me here. And I want you to think about this, about the burden that you're currently carrying. Some of us are carrying a burden. It might be a family situation. Might be a situation here at church. Might be a situation of fear. Might be a situation at work, whatever it is. I want you to think about it as you listen to this for a moment. Allow these words, allow our Father, the Holy Spirit, to minister to you. We ready?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.